Good morning, Beth. This morning I was thinking about a hymn that I learned in Mexico a couple of months ago when I was down there. And it says, Christ is the door to heaven. And have you made the decision as to which road you will take? The narrow road leads to God. The wide one is Satan's. Have we decided which way we want to go? I just thought that was something that I needed to say there to kind of open what we're going to talk about today. A few weeks ago, I was at my parents' house on Sunday night, and we was having a service there. And I remembered something that an uncle of mine did many years ago. And once in a while, he'd start his sermon with, I want to see the hands of those that want to go to heaven. Naturally, most people raise their hand. But then he'd ask, I want to see the hands of all those that want to go to hell. And there wasn't very many hands went up for that one. And I thought at the time, well, that's a pretty silly question. Well, everybody would obviously want to go to heaven, so why ask the other, right? But as I thought about it that night, I was thinking, well, do we really want to go to heaven? I mean, do we want to go to heaven bad enough to keep God's commandments and do what he says? Or do we just, yeah, I want to go to heaven? You know, there's a lot of difference there. It's easy for us to be entangled in what the world has and their little pleasures and their little distractions that Satan puts for us. So I thought I would start reading in Genesis, the third chapter, and kind of show that even Adam and Eve, who walked with God, were able to be deceived, and so can we. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What we see is that Satan is telling them, you won't die. You know, he's already pulling them. He's already, instead you'll have wisdom and knowledge and power like you've never had before. What he didn't tell them is that you have to rebel against God in order to do what he said. Basically, he said, take a chance, go ahead, eat, it'll be okay. You know? And so they did. But in order to disobey God, you had to obey the devil. So in essence, Satan became the new God because they obeyed him. He didn't just offer them knowledge independent of God. He offered them himself as their new God, as their leader, You see, Satan wanted to be like God. And there wasn't no better way to be like God than to take the man who God had made and convince him to follow him. Once they obeyed Satan, they quit obeying God. The fact is, there are many people who claim to be Christians and go to church, but still lead subordinate lives unto Satan. They still do everything of the world. They live like the world, but they claim to be Christians. But God isn't their leader. He says if God's spirit ain't with you, then Satan's spirit is with you. So, no, we have rules in our house. God has rules in his house. In my house, nobody can drink or smoke or swear or do anything of that nature because I make the rules. It's my house. In God's house, he makes the rules. And if we don't keep his commandments, we don't get to go to heaven. I remind us that we must obey God if we are going to make it to heaven. Also remember, we must have faith and charity and love. But I want to read, let's see, I think I passed up the place I want to read from here. I want to look at the book of Alma, 16th chapter. In the 226th verse. And it says, "And now, my brethren, I would that ye, after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yeah, and I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this is the life. This life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yeah, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the days of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to be prepared for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say, when you are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to God. Nay, you cannot say this, for this same spirit which does possess our bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you. And this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, and he hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom, to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, and that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that ye humble yourselves even to the dust, and worship God in whatever place ye may be in spirit and in truth. And that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you, Yeah, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day, for behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. He didn't give Adam and Eve no good thing either, did he? Here we see that if we serve Satan, he becomes our God. He will possess our spirits. If we don't have God's Spirit with us, we have Satan's, and we will die because Satan will become our God. I want to turn to the second chapter of Mosiah, verse 11. Says, I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourself before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. Here he tells us we must repent of our sins and we must forsake them. We can't continue to sin and make it to heaven. Now, if you believe all these things, see that ye do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls. Even so I would that ye should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even to in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his due. And ye will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which has been spoken of by our fathers. He being an enemy of all righteousness, but ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Here we see if we got God's Spirit, we are his, but if not, we are Satan's. Adam and Eve didn't get anything good out of their transgression. You know, one son killed another, and they lived terribly and miserably. And they did die spiritually and physically. So I ask, brothers and sisters, that you will let Satan, that you will not let Satan be our God? Or are we going to make the decision to obey God's commandments and to the best of our ability? I want to turn to the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 2. And it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we live by the Spirit of God, we are his sons. But if we don't, we are the sons of Satan." I remind us that we must obey God if we want to make it to heaven. Also remember, we must have faith and charity and love. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, we're all sinners. And that may be true, but we can't justify our sin with this. God knows our hearts. He knows our spirits. He knows if we're trying the best we can to keep his commandments. And he's the one that's going to judge us. He's going to decide if we make it or not. We can fool man, but we can't fool God. So I ask, brothers and sisters, that we make that decision to serve God with all our might, mind, and strength, that we remember the covenant that we made to serve God. And I ask that we would always remember each other in prayer. And I thank you, and God bless.
We'll use number 368 for our final song, at which we'll be close in prayer. 368.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee thankful for the words that we've been reminded of. Help us to recognize that these are our decisions to make and that it's our choosing whom we will serve. Help us to make the right decisions that we may indeed have that life eternal with You. And pray once again that You bless those that are sick, that You bless those that are wandering and uncertain of the path that they should follow, that their minds be quickened to recall those things which You caused to be written. Would ask that You'd bless the food that's been prepared, and that You would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, and wish to thank You for it, and for those hands which have prepared it. Go with us through this day, I pray, and I ask these favors in Christ's name. Amen.